good. I turned off everything else, so it shouldn't be. My button's sticky these days. But cool. All right. Great. Well, first, congratulations again on a great screening last
night. Thank you.
That seemed really exciting.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really nice response. I mean, it's a real... The film is a real audience film for the cinema, you know. I mean, it's... When people go and watch it together as a group of people, you know, it's a real emotional journey for them. So it's been great. Showing the film around at the film festivals and showing it around the world, we had such fantastic
warm response. You've done a fair amount of film festivals so far.
We've done quite a few. We've done quite a few festivals.
Good.
And it's always been the same, that the audience just absolutely open-heartedly embrace the movie and love it and laugh and cry in all the right places. You know, it's great.
Gotcha. Well, to kind of go back to the beginning of the story a little bit, you did, like you mentioned last night, you've done some work in Hollywood and, you know, did a big thing. How did you transition into getting to the place where this is a story that would interest you and that, you know, you would kind of dive in the full force that it would take to make something like this?
Well, it was sent to me by one of the producers of The Other Bowling Girl, David Thompson, who I trust and like, and I've worked with him for quite a number of years. He's a good man. He's got really good taste. And I knew that him sending me the script, we would end up, you know, making something that we both were proud of. And but it was really going to Kenya, meeting the real man, meeting the real Maruge, that was the, you know, the thing that really, really inspired me to make it. And going around those schools in Africa, just seeing those children, and there was this kind of great, kind of unusual thing about the script, is that the script was, you know, a had a possibility of being an unusual African movie, you know, in that you know, it wasn't issue driven, it was an uplifting story, it was one about one man's determination to learn to read. It was uplifting and inspiring, and that felt very, very different from any kind of African movie that I'd seen, or, you know, and that was a big motivating force, and a big motivating force, how do we make this film appealing to a modern audience, you know? Yes, it does deal with hard-hitting issues, but essentially it's a film for audiences to emotionally engage with and enjoy.
Right. So you were talking about last night that when you were first kind of tossing around the script and kind of looking at it, and before you even, you know, go to Kenya or anything like that, was the idea behind it that it would be a, you know, bigger, more traditional Hollywood prestige movie, or was it something you knew would be a smaller kind of project that was more dedicated and intimate, or how was it first kind
well,
of
I think
conceived
that
of?
I think that the producers thought that it was going to cost a lot more money, we would shoot it in South Africa, we'd shoot it with named actors, we'd cast all over Hollywood, Africa, sorry, for the cast of children, and to make it in a more traditional way. But I was like, why, you know, why would we try and recreate Kenya in South Africa? It's completely different. And just kind of going to Africa, Kenya, meeting Kikuyu, the tribe that Maruge was, and meeting, you know, the Maasai tribes, there was just something that we could never recreate in South Africa or anywhere else in the world, I didn't think. It's a Kenyan story. It felt like it was completely relevant to shoot there. There was seen to be no perceived infrastructure there in Kenya. All the bigger movies like Tomb Raider and Out of Africa and the films that had been recently shot there had all shipped in all the crew, all the equipment, all the food, and, you know, I was like, well, we've got to shoot it in Kenya, and with that we lost all our investment and from South Africa but I just was like, well, listen, we just go and make it. We make it for what we've got. We take a small group of people in. And we use the people that are there in the country, you know. And if they can't do it, we'll train people up. We'll use whatever equipment, you know, we can get our hands on there. And we'll live with the in the area and in the community that we're making the film about. And that seemed to be kind of really obvious to me, you know. I mean, I wanted to make the movie, and I was determined to do it, and it also felt completely relevant to do it in that way because it gave an intimacy and a truth to the whole film.
Gotcha. I don't want to cover repeat all the things you talked last night, but there are a couple since
cool, no, that's,
readers,
that's fine.
So I want them to get the full context. Talk a little bit about process of finding your Maruke. I know you talked to the actual man, and then trying to find an actor that could reflect
well,
that.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody said in Kenya that we would never find Maruke there, and so we listened to that, and then we started to search in Africa, throughout Africa, North Africa, in South Africa. We did an extensive tour throughout Europe, Great Britain. The American producers looked in America, and there was no one. I mean, I'd spent time with Maruge. There was no one that felt right, you know, had the right sensibility. So when I went back to Kenya, I said, listen, you know, I know that there won't be a guy there, just a movie star sitting there that happens to be right. So as long as I can communicate with somebody in English and they have the same sensibility that Maruge had, he had this amazing kind of warmth and inner strength about him. There was something about him. I said, I just need to be able to communicate. I don't, sadly, speak Swahili. I need to be able to communicate directly with him. But he doesn't have to have any acting experience. And someone on the Kenyan team said, hey, listen, there was this guy in the 70s my mum and dad talked about, you know, that was an anchorman on the news, and I don't know what happened to him. So I managed to track this story down, and it was Oliver, who was living now in a remote village, and he'd, you know, fallen out of kind of anything. He was on hard times, and word managed to get to him through his village, and he got on a bus, spent 6 hours, arrived in Nairobi, and from the moment I met him, I just thought, yeah, wow. I mean, he was just, you know, I knew he had the right sensibilities for it. He was articulate, intelligent, and I just knew the kids would love him because I loved him. He was just such a warm,
right,
beautiful man, and he had these qualities that Maruge had, you know, and that was it. Once we found him, we had the movie, you know. It was fantastic.
I can see that. Clearly I didn't meet the original Maruge, but this Oliver definitely has some kind of quality that you could believe him going through a story like that.
Yeah, you can see that, you know, in his eyes and in his whole way, he's lived a life and experienced both good and bad. So I mean, this was brilliant. It was fantastic, and the children adored him. And, you know, and that was a fantastic thing. I really wanted it to be a Kenyan that played that role. It was very important to me. And thank goodness. And hopefully, it's the start of a great career for you know, Oliver.
Yeah, certainly.
I hope so.
So talk about into talking with the children, because from what I gathered last night, that was a touching experience.
Yeah, that was. I think that was the most. That was one of the things that I remember speaking to the BBC right at the beginning. That, you know, although we deal with an old man going back to school, that you, the thing that had to infuse the film, and I didn't know Kenyan children at that point, but the thing that had to be the absolute heartbeat of the film was the children, and, you know, the children had to be this kind of force, this healing force, because we do see these terrible things unfold in the film. We see uplifting things, but the children are this kind of, I try to make the children central to the understanding of the film. You know, the way that Maruge talked about his own children, the real man talked about his own children, the way, you know, the children in every school that we went to have this amazing energy. So I was like, right, okay, so instead of casting all over Africa and Kenya, just choose one school and everybody's involved in it. So, you know, I will adapt the characters in the film to the children that I see before me. So I chose this one school where there was no water, no electricity. We were out in the middle of the Rift Valley, which is quite a way away from any kind of town, or very, very small remote community, which was mainly made up of Kikuyu and Maasai. And we lived there, and I went in every day, and this was a beautiful, stunning location, not obvious location, a quite hostile environment, mountainous, cold in the mornings, and quite a bleak, windy place, and but stunningly beautiful. I mean, really, oh, I mean, you know, you'd see giraffes at the bottom of the mountain just walking around. And so I chose this location, and we lived there, and I would go in with went to the school on my own and just sat and watched and let the kids come to me. And I started to see these children, they were like really shy, very, very gentle children who was a big deal for them to even look at you in the eye, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I cast the children and adapted them, and I realized, you know, that they'd not seen a movie, they'd never seen a TV set, but I realized that, you know, what they wanted, these children, more than anything, was to just be taught, you know, to have lessons. So all my scenes, I did a lesson plan and put it up on the board, and I taught, and then slowly I brought in the rest of the crew from outside. So the cameraman came with me, no cameras, he sat with me, they got used to him, and then slowly we built up like that, and I brought in Naomi Harris, who I wanted to play Teacher Jane. She came and taught. Alfred came in and taught at the school, and just adapted the children to that. So, and what was amazing in that was that the children just, it was all play to the children. And I thank goodness for my experience that I'd had as a director in England. You know, I'd worked a lot with children in Manchester from, you know, different backgrounds, and not stage school children. So I'm used to working with kind of children from many, you know, from sort of different backgrounds. And but these kids were just amazing. So immediately, as soon as we started filming with Oliver, they were completely defensive and caring over this man and respectful of this man. They completely welcomed him into the classroom. The scenes in the film where that's not them acting, that's just them reacting to what was in front of them, you know. And that was the most humbling thing, is just to see how these children, one, you know, just embraced the kind of, any had this thirst for knowledge and learning, and we incorporated that into the filmmaking, but also how they were over us and the crew, you know, and Oliver, you know, they were just beautiful with them, stunning.
Well, talking about that process a little bit, tell me a little bit about your relationship with your cinematographer and some of, and keeping, I guess, maybe in the back of your head or whatever as you're going, some of the filmmaking techniques you use, because there's definitely some stylistic, not flourish, but there's a very defined sense of narrative technique in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I love the use of central compositions, there's transitions between the different pieces of time, and you know, I really love, the photography is beautiful, and I know that can be a hard thing to pull off sometimes in an environment like that when you're trying to deal with children and
everything.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Unobtrusive. So tell me a little bit about that in mind.
I mean, it was a kind of development in my kind of style, really. I mean, usually performance has always been my central thing. I love working with actors, wherever they're from, whatever their experience, whether they're unknown or whether they're a Hollywood star. I love working with actors. I love creating that environment for freedom, support, all of those things, which is key to, I believe, the film. If you catch your performance and you capture the truth of the performance, then that's it, you know, that's fantastic, and that's what it's all about. And you cannot get seduced by, you know, great shot just because if the performance isn't there. So I've always kind of built my work on that as the central premise. And I love the visuals, I really love the visuals, and I knew that this, more than any other story, was going to need a cinema. You know, it needed to have a cinematic quality to it, and not in an obvious way, just because we're in Africa. You know, it couldn't be in just a beautiful, stunning wild shot with, you know, giraffes walking by. I didn't want to do that. You know, I wanted to really capture the beauty of the landscape, but also have the people within that landscape. So that was really important. And because we were working on a tight time frame because of the budget, I also knew that I had to be very, very well prepared. So what was different for this was that usually I like to work with two cameras so I catch the performance. On this, I made a decision that I wanted to work on single camera so there wasn't too many cameras around. And I wanted to be really ballsy with the cinematography, because You know, the obvious thing would have been to go in with handheld cameras and to, you know, peek behind doors and shoot it, long lens, and
right.
and try and catch it, right. and catch the truth of the performances because the children weren't there. But what I wanted to do here was, you know, as long as I had a, you know, as long as I had a plan or I knew exactly where the scenes were going, I could orchestrate quite complicated shots with these, I don't like to say actors, they weren't really actors, you know. There was a couple of actors in that film, but not really. So we would be basically building the shots with the children or with the non-actors. Quite complicated sequences. And it, that was something that I thought was, we really, with Rob, we really made a conscious effort that we wanted it to feel not only real, but had a considered, we kind of called it considered photography, so that we were, Rob knows my work, he knows that I like to catch performance, he knows it's all about performance, but we also didn't want it to feel handheld, although some of it is handheld, but we wanted it to feel confident, bold, and the photography to be bold, and I'm really proud of that, because I think that joining together with me and him was the start of a really good relationship. And you know, it was, you know, we did there's some, with so few resources that we had and right. so little time, we managed to kind of get this, and I'm glad you picked up on it, this the beauty in the photography, but also very, very natural performances that are going on where you actually feel you're in the room. And what was amazing was that we used, you know, fixed lenses, we were right. in the classroom scenes, we were in amongst it, you know, and, you know, sometimes the children, you know, we were like 2-3 inches away from the children's faces, and moving around the classroom, orchestrating these shots, the children didn't look in the camera. I mean, sometimes they did, obviously, but they, you know, as long as there was something engaging that was happening and the truth of the scene, and as long as we as a team worked quickly so the children didn't get bored, that was the big challenge, you know.
Right.
And as long as we were clear, and it kept me on my toes, because, you know, everybody that came in, because there was such a raw, there was so raw, inexperienced talent on the film, it kept me on the experience. So all those men that came in to be in the camps, you know, I spent a lot of time with those men, talking to them about exactly what we were doing, you know, telling them about their characters, telling them what they'd been through. That being clear with everybody that was involved, the background artists, the main actors, the crowds, making sure that everybody was clear with what we were doing, really helped us being able to get this particular style that we were going for, which, you know, I haven't really seen that with an African movie looking like that. And I've had a lot of Africans say to me who've watched the movie, well, you really caught the country. You really caught
right.
it. You
well,
see it.
You had
it,
that
know.
Comment last night that
yeah.
was quite touching.
Yeah, it's really good.
So with the children, obviously, you know, those situations, that's a little more run and gun and that sort of thing. Did you find you had... I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of the stuff with Maruke, I especially noticed the photography in that. I loved the macro of the letter with that
yeah.
intensely shallow depth of field.
It's like, beautiful.
And, you know, so much playing with focus and everything that gave me a sense of his limited senses. You know?
Yeah.
I was able to see his inability to hear as well.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and project onto him, you
right.
know, so that you're doing, you know, because Oliver isn't an experienced actor, you know, he's you know, so a lot of the time, you know, I'd be stood, you know, where you were, what kind of behind, where you're watching it from, going, Oliver, just open the letter, have a little look, and I'd be probably just pan down, and it was a really, just getting into his head, into Maruge's head. I think, yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that, because that's, we really made a conscious effort to try and have that feeling in the film.
Yeah,
you know?
that's definitely something I appreciate a lot about it. So what, since we're kind of running out of time, what do you see, what's your ultimate ideal with where this film goes? Do you have more of a festival circuit? I know it's coming out in Atlanta, and how big of a release is that?
Well, it's got, I mean, it's been picked up for general release, and, you know, it will be a small release. I mean, it's difficult, you know, it's not like my last film, which was, you know, had these big, huge machines behind, you know,
right.
the studio machines, the distribution machine. The challenge is going to be, you know, word of mouth. I mean, I think if people go and see the film, they love the film, and it's just getting them in. And these smaller movies, it's so important at this particular time, is that the smaller movies more than ever need audiences to go and see them, to support them, to give them
in
the cinema, to give them some sort of life, you know.
Yeah, this is definitely one that needs a big screen.
Yeah, you do. And I'm hoping, I mean, you know, I'm hoping that the word of mouth will spread and people will come and see it, because otherwise movies like this don't get made, you know. I mean, this will be the challenging thing. That's why I'm so glad that we're here in Atlanta. We've had such a really warm response to the film. It was great last night, and I'm hoping that those people who watch the movie go out and tell their friends and families and say, hey, go on, it opens on May the 20th, go and see this film, because that's the way that the film will build. And I just hope it has a life, you know. I really hope it has a life, because I think it's a beautiful film that the audiences just genuinely enjoy.
Gotcha. Well, I haven't gotten the impression that this movie was like a reaction to some Hollywood experience. So would you see yourself ever doing bigger movies again, or do you think you're always going to stick with the smaller thing, or where do you see your specific personal path going?
I have the same sort of approach, as long as it's a good story, and I have the same sort of approach to the, you know, the Hollywood film as the small film. You know, I had a lot of fun on The Other Bowling Girl with great actors, and they were all stars, and they were lovely, but I saw no difference to my process working with those stars as I had with the children of the Maasai village that I was in Africa.
Right.
You know, I'm motivated by working with on good stories and telling good stories, and whether that's in the system, you know, of Hollywood, which I love, or doing the independent movies. The challenges are when you do the independent movies are working with such limited resources that it makes you very, very inventive, and hopefully, you know, those kind of break out, and I hope that this breaks out. And, you know, I've just done another film that's another independent film using the same sensibilities as I had in Africa, in Manchester, England, you know, on a film that I've done there called Stolen. Again, very, very low budget, with non-actors mixing with actors. Another hard-hitting story. But, you know, I'm open for good stories. That's me, really.
Well, good luck. Thank you so much for your time.
Brilliant. Good to see you. Nice talking to you.
It was very nice talking to you. And like I said, good luck with the film. Good luck with Stolen.
Yeah, cheers.
I'll definitely look into that. But